Cape Talk.
Ask Dr. Josh.
Hello, sir. Welcome. Great to have you back with us this evening.
It's great to be with you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. So let's start with, this is a predicament that I'm imagining is not that uncommon. There is a big difference between he, she hasn't asked me yet and he, she has told me straight up they don't want to get married.
Oh, yeah. There's a very big difference. And you, as much as you don't want to hear this, the latter, at least with the latter, they don't want to get married, you at least know, right? Versus the, is he, she going to ask me? Are they ever going to ask me?
One is
waiting and one is not what you want to hear.
Yeah. Now, the reason why I ask this is because I'm a woman of a certain age, as are most of my girlfriends. And in the last sort of 5 years or so, those who'd been in long-term relationships, let's say from their mid-20s, some were married, some were not, but there were some who were getting to the point where they'd been with their partners for sort of 5, 6, 7 years. And while it wasn't that the partner had come outright and said, I don't want to get married, they were kind of, my friends were started looking at their watch and saying, well, this is all well and good, but when is the proposal coming? And for me, it felt like they were saying, well, he doesn't want to get married, because if he did want to get married, he would have asked me by now. Lo and behold, for many of them, within the next year or so, the partners had all popped the question. So, and I'm speaking from a very heteronormative point of view, but is there a train of thought that is just that patience is a virtue?
No, not the way I think. No, absolutely not. I mean, particularly if you're not talking, because this whole idea of, well, he'll pop the question, if it's never been brought up. You know, I guess, you know, the way I think about it, we live in very different times now, and I'm all for sort of romance and traditional and get down on one knee, you know, regardless of your sexual identity, sexual preference. But it's amazing to me, Sergeant, that no one ever, that we can go years without talking about it. Like you just said. It's been 6 months, it's been 8 months, it's been 2 years, it's been 3 years. Oh, my God, why don't you say something? Seriously. I mean, and obviously there's different cultural beliefs, there's different religious beliefs, but we're talking about adults. If you are with somebody and you are of the age in which marriage is appropriate and you are somebody who wants to be married, you're going to talk to your partner. Think about this. You've been with them for several months or maybe a few years. Think about all the intimate things you've probably talked to them about. Everything. The way your body works, the way your thoughts and your feelings and your hopes and your dreams. But you're not going to say a word about marriage? Why? Why?
And I mean, it's not as simple as if they loved me, they'd marry me, is it? I mean, it may feel like that sometimes, but it's never that simple, surely.
Oh, not at all. I mean, look, and people always give out the reasons why they don't want to get married, right? And even some of them are so fascinatingly superstitious, because you always hear, look at the divorce rate. We've been together for 6 years. We're living together. We own a house together. But if we get married, if we make it official, we're going to get divorced. Why? Because look at the divorce rates. I mean, that's what people always do, is look at the divorce rates. And so there is this superstition because of, at least in the States, you know, the divorce rates are so high that people say, we're not going to get married because if we get married, then it'll ruin it and then we'll get divorced. Which the logic behind it is crazy. The second is, and this is a little more concerning to me as a psychologist, is somehow the fear of commitment, not commitment of your heart, but if I make the logistic commitment, it's harder to get out. Logistically, it's harder. I mean, this is one of the things about marriage. Yes, from a spiritual standpoint, yes, from a love standpoint, you make that commitment. But if you think about it from a logistic standpoint, it's a lot easier to sort of get out of a relationship if you don't if there's no official license to it. There's just less hoops that you have to jump through. And there, so there are some people who they may not admit to it, but deep down they don't want to commit because they're not sure if it's going to work, and they want it to be easy and not painful to get out.
I mean, I understand that, but here we are in 2018, and the laws have changed for this very reason, to protect people who have been in long-term relationships, you know, and in terms of whether you're together or common law husband and wife and all that and all the rest of it. I mean, that's very different to, let's say, perhaps in the 1800s, when the thought that you would even, you know, be living with your partner, not married and having kids was utterly outrageous. So it was either that you were sort of courting, as they used to say, and then the proposal would come, both family would say, yeah, fantastic, and you'd get on with it, and you'd literally go from your parents' house to the marital house. But these days, I mean, of course, so many of us are living with our partners. We've got mortgages and bonds with our partners. We've got life insurance. We share cars. We share car payments. We share children. We share parents' evening. All of that. I'm not buying the logistics argument. I think that's hooey. I think that's an excuse for something else.
Well, and then I agree with you. Here's the other part that's hooey, is this idea that, I don't believe. See, and this is where, and in the article that I did, this is what I was saying, is this is why you need to explore this question with your partner. Because when they say something like, I don't believe in marriage, my first question as a psychologist is, what does that mean? Right? What does that mean? I don't believe in it. Well, you know, again, the typical, we don't need a piece of paper to say we're in love.
Yeah.
Right? You don't. But you know what? And again, this is why I think it's important, and it's an important barometer of your relationship. If one of you does and one of you doesn't or is unsure, And you ask, you say, look, I want to be married. And the other person says, I'm not into marriage. And you say, but it's important to me. And they say, but we don't need a piece of paper to show that we have love for one another. And you say, absolutely right. But I want us to bond officially. The question becomes, what is it that's keeping them from doing it? That's
Agreed.
What I want to know.
Yeah.
And that's what you should be asking. Not in an accusatory way. Not in an interrogation, but you do need to understand, what is it about your partner? Maybe they've had, five bad marriages. Maybe it is superstition for them. Maybe they don't want, maybe you're going to hear some news that you don't want to hear, which is, I love you, but I don't want to be committed that way.
Ouch.
Well, but to your early first opening comments, which would you rather hear, the truth? Or would you rather wait in uncertainty for endless years? Because I can tell you that both of those can cause problems in a relationship.
I can't even imagine the horror. And you know, this is me we're talking about, Josh. So, you know, we've known each other for a while now. You know that on a first date, one of my first questions is, when are you proposing? So, I mean, that's me. Like, I'm the poster child for having the early conversations. So the thought that I would ever be in a relationship with somebody and then 5 years down the line and I'm thinking, okay, the proposal's going to come, and then they break the news, I don't want to get married. I mean, I've protected myself from that since I swiped right. I mean, that's not even an issue for me. But I wonder if, and you've given this the example of perhaps if somebody's been married before and burned or a horrible divorce. But then, is that fair to carry that fear and that baggage and that negativity into a new relationship?
Is it fair?
Oh, well.
No, it's human. It's human. It's not fair, but it's what humans do. We always bring our baggage. We bring our baggage from childhood to the relationship. So why wouldn't we bring our baggage from the last relationship? And that's kind of my point, which is, and you used a 5-year waiting. I can't fathom a recommendation to anybody that said, if you got that serious in a relationship and you're of age, you know, you're not 20, you're late 20s all the way up. After a year or two, why wouldn't that conversation, if it's on your mind or theirs, why not bring it up? You see, this is my point. Now, look, if both of you don't want to get married, if you don't want to, both of you don't have any desire to get married, then you shouldn't bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
But if one of you does, and you bring it up, you may find out, oh, well, I'm so glad you brought that up. I've been thinking the same thing. And if not, this whole idea of holding that off and waiting without talking about it, again, it's almost like we have the same problem with sex. Nobody talks about sex in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They don't talk about intimacy. And then they wonder why they have problems. Because we don't talk about it. Oh, you don't need to talk about it. Well, yeah, you do. And it's the same thing in a marriage. Yes, you want it to be spontaneous. I'm not saying that you can't talk about it, get your information, hold back, and then ask later. But you should never be in a relationship where you don't know where your partner's head is at around marriage if it's a committed long-term relationship. And I don't care if you're male, female, gay, straight, bi, it does not matter. If you're going to bond in that way, you need to know, or if you desire to bond that way, your partner needs to know.
Mm. I agree. I've had a message in on the WhatsApp that says, hi, SJ, my ex-wife and I had a whirlwind courtship. We met in August 1990. Next date was in October. Then we moved in together the next evening after the third date. In early November, she came to me and said, we have to get married or you must move out. We married in December 1990. Good for you. I mean, you did. Yeah, well, no, sadly not. The preface was my ex-wife. But I mean, from August to December, I mean, I've heard from, what do they say, May to September relationships, but this is August to December. I mean, that's, you must get married. We have to get married or you must move out in a matter of months. At least she knew what she wanted.
So, again, that's clarity. It didn't work out, but at least it's clear. I think one of the things that we don't explore, again, marriage is complex. It isn't just a piece of paper, much like intimacy, much like relationships. And so it's easy to say, I don't want sex, or it's easy to say, I don't want to get married, or I'm not into commitment, or, you know, those kinds of sort of one-line push the person back. But if you have an intimate relationship, a dedicated relationship, you should be able to get a lot deeper than that. And if your partner can't answer the questions, why don't you want to get married? What is it about it? You know, if they can't articulate any of that, then your relationship has a problem. Like, forget the marriage part for a minute. That's a bad sign, Sarah Jane, that if they're saying, I just don't want to get married. I don't know why. I just don't. I just don't. That's what teenagers say.
Mm.
That's what kids say. As adults, we don't say that. I just don't do this.
Here's a question.
It doesn't work that way.
Here's a question for you. In your experience as a clinical psychologist, do you find, and the more that we have these conversations, and the more that I have conversations with friends of mine, and as somebody who's paid thousands and thousands of rand over the years in therapy, when you say that's not healthy, I know what that means. I'm a lot more able these days to work out what's healthy and what isn't. It doesn't necessarily determine the fact or lead to the fact that I might change my behaviour, but I'm able to identify it. But do you find that a lot of people are living in superficial relationships, consumed by the baggage of the past and trauma of the past, so that when you say things like, that's not healthy, that's just not even a concept that they're able to process?
Oh, absolutely. And I think what people don't realize is, and it's not easy to realize this, I mean, you kind of do need to go through therapy or have some pretty deep insight. To your point about the baggage of the past, you know, we have so much cumulative baggage, and we use I don't like to use the word baggage because then it makes it sound like we're all damaged, you know, we're damaged goods. Well, we all are.
Mm.
We all have baggage. I don't care what level of trauma it is.
Mm.
I mean, the baggage could be that your mom was overbearing and that was it. The baggage could be that you had a bad relationship that broke up and it broke your heart when you were 19 years old. You know, So degree of baggage is all relative. But the thing that we need to understand is that we are learning beings. whether we like it or not. So we bring the things that have happened to us from the past, we bring them to our current relationships, sometimes good, sometimes bad. And so when we get stuck and we say things like, I don't know why I feel like this, I just do, my first go-to as a psychologist is, all right, let's start unpacking that. Let's start looking back a little bit. We don't need to. And when I say look back, I'm not saying go back to when you were three. Let me hear about the last relationship you were in. Well, she left me at the altar. Okay, well, okay. I can see why you're a little bit hesitant. That's the part. What I'm trying to say is you should go into your relationships with an assumption, no matter how insightful and self-actualized you think you are, that you're bringing your past learning experiences with you, i.e. your baggage, and when you get stuck or when your partner gets stuck, when there's that sticking point, very often if you can't figure it out or they can't figure it out, it's got to do with something in their past. And again, it doesn't have to be 30, 40 years ago that has shaped their hesitation. And it's time to explore it. It's time to talk about it if it's keeping your current relationship from moving forward.
I want to read a message quickly from Damon in Durbanville, who says, Hi, SJ, I'm going through a divorce. Whatever your agreement is in marriage or just cohabitation, make sure your legal issues are in order. The entry point is easy, but the exit is the hardest. Sadly, from my experience, marriage, when you remove the emotion, is just another business deal. Thanks for that, Damon. Sorry, Josh, go on.
And we've seen it. I mean, you see this all the time. You see the trauma of divorce. You see people who fall out of love and need to separate, go their separate ways, go from sort of falling out of love to mortal enemies as a function of the logistics of the divorce. I see it time and time again, and we've all seen this. People who loved each other then kind of don't love each other, come to hate each other because of the divorce process. Now, fortunately, some of those folks then actually come back to like each other again at some point down the road. But it tests our emotional maturity. Marriage, separation, divorce, and reconciliation, not in marriage, it's reconciliation as friends, tests how emotionally mature are we. And it pulls on every bit of baggage we've got that we bring into the relationship.
Another message that we've had in on the WhatsApp. SJ, what's the difference between marriage and living with a person? You can break up if you're living together, or if you're married, you can get divorced. It's the same thing. It's just that the divorce lawyers make money. See, I'm sort of inclined to agree with that in terms of when we're talking about logistics. These days, it's not the case that if you're not married, then it's going to be easier to split up because of financials. That's not necessarily the case anymore. But I think in terms of psychologically, for me, there is a big difference. I want to get married, and that's it. However, I have to say, my idea as to why I want to get married is a lot different now at the age of 38 than it was at 20, yeah, which I think was a kind of fairy tale. Oh, I get married and I have a pretty dress, and then people buy you lots of presents. And also, I'm a lot more sort of war weary, battle hardened. In that, yes, while of course I don't want to, I wouldn't go into a marriage thinking this is going to end in divorce. That to me is not, that a divorce is not the, I mean, it would be sad, yes, but it wouldn't be something that makes me think, well, I daren't get married because what happens if I get divorced? I'm prepared to, for me, it's more about the commitment in that moment. And of course, if I was going to get married, it'd be, yes, with the hope that I spend my life with the rest of this person. However, my head's a little bit more, I'm a little bit more down to earth these days when it comes to, the realities of long-term relationships. I'm not even sure that we're all meant to be in long-term relationships.
That's a whole other topic. Yes, it is. This is important. What do we expect from our relationships, particularly with marriage and long-term relationships? What are we expecting from our partners in terms of our own life fulfillment? Because part of the problem we have with divorce And particularly in a day and age where we tend to be more narrowly focused on our significant other and our technology, et cetera, is, are we asking our partners to provide too much of our own fulfillment that we should be getting in other places? I'm not talking about sexual fulfillment. I'm talking about other sorts of social fulfillment. And so do we place too much pressure on the relationship, the single relationship, when maybe we should be getting some of these things from other places? And is that driving the divorce rates?
Mm. Just finally, Josh, is it important to look at one's own reasons for wanting to get married and asking whether they are valid or healthy? Like I said, when I was younger, my reasons for wanting to get married were romantic, really. They weren't, and also, I guess, because, you know, ever the codependent, it was the thing of, once someone's legally tied into me, it's going to be a hell of a lot more difficult for them to get away. Whereas these days, it's not. I like the idea of a ceremony that signals the commitment of myself and my partner.
No, you're absolutely right. You should be able to, and it's going to be a tough question, because some of it's not rational. It's an emotional one, but I think you kind of answered it. Why do I want to get married is the first question that you need to ask yourself, or why do I not want to get married? And those are tough questions. But to your point, it may literally be, I want to get married because I want to have sort of the ultimate symbol of commitment. My partner and I, my radio partner and I, have talked about this with, why do we wear wedding rings or not wear wedding rings?
Mm.
You know, what's that got to do with it? Like, what that should make, but it makes a big deal. So I do think that if you're going to tell your partner, I want to get married, and there's a little bit of discussion, you need to be able to say why you want to, and to say, yes, I want to have a pretty wedding. Well, sure, great, let's have a great party. But if you want to say, I want to dedicate officially to you my love in public, on paper, in every which way, and that's why I want to get married, because it's important to me as a symbol, that's probably a reasonable way to convey it. And similarly, if I don't want to get married, it could be because it scares me to death that the piece of paper could ultimately ruin us. Now, that's irrational, but at least if that's what you're saying is in your heart, then your partner knows. It's better to know and be hurt than to never know.
Here's the thing one of the other reasons that people say, oh, you know, it's important to get married for the children, It's important to get married for the children. Why? Why is it important to get married for the children?
The children that you're going to have, or the children that you already
have? Well, exactly. That's never been something that I've understood. I mean, it's a very antiquated view along those lines of, and I guess it's to do with, illegitimacy and patriarchy and all that nonsense, which doesn't, I'm not saying patriarchy doesn't exist. Of course it does. But in terms of, the concept of a child being illegitimate, I mean, that's not really something that we worry about in 2018, is it? If you're not married to the mother of the child.
We do a little bit. I mean, kids can talk about it. Here's, because I've seen this in a few cases.
Mm.
They definitely can say, well, I have a mom and a dad, or a dad and a dad and a mom and a mom.
Mm.
And they'll say, if it comes out that they're not married, that stigma is still there.
Wow.
Maybe not to the degree, but
sure,
it makes you quite different. That stigma of illegitimacy is not dead. I guess that's my that's my concern. It also, for some kids, once they sort of put two and two together and realize what marriage is and that mine aren't and all that kind of stuff, it can create quite a bit of anxiety for a child, even though the parents say, well, don't worry about it, we love you, it's all fine. Well, then why aren't you married? Because marriage is still conventional in many societies. And I think that's part of the issue, is it's the majority, it's the conventional, and the child who sticks out in that way can have angst and anxiety. Are they not well adjusted? Most of them do fine.
Yeah. Yeah, the friends of mine who just got married in the States. I mean, as much as you know, they wanted to get married for that because that's what they wanted to do. But they want to have kids next year, and that was their thing. They were like, you know, we want our kids to be children of a marriage.
Mm-hmm. But then, see, in that way, look, think about it. In that way, you're making less. You're putting less of an importance on the certification part.
Yeah.
But you're putting a great importance on it for the love you have for the children who you've not had yet, right? It's out of respect for your children. And in even that way, you could say, look, this is why it's important to me. You and I want to have kids. We want to have children. You've acknowledged that. I've acknowledged that. I want my kids to have parents who are married. So if you want to have kids with me, then this is an important part of having those kids. And explain to me why you wouldn't want to get married if we want to have kids.
Mm.
Again, it's all about Sarah Jane. It is about having the courage to have deep conversations with your partner. And I say this, if you're scared to have those conversations so much so that you can't have them, then the question is, how strong is your relationship?
Mm. Hmm. That's and also, is it not, in addition to how strong is your relationship, is it not a question about where how low is your self-esteem that you don't feel that you can have a conversation, or not maybe not how low is your self-esteem, but if you're failing to have conversations based on the fear of what the outcome of those conversations might be, that does not sound good to me.
It's fear of the unknown. It's fear of what might happen, and it is an assumption, this is important, it's an assumption that if the answer is not what you want to hear, that all is lost. And one of the things I talked about in this article was that your partner may say, I don't want to be married now, I don't know why exactly, but I'm willing to listen and talk about it. And in other words, I love you, it's the marriage part, And I'm willing to converse about it. And that's why I'm saying have enough courage to maybe not hear exactly what you want to hear, but you don't have to throw everything in just because you didn't hear what you didn't want to hear.
Mm.
That's called communication and the evolution of a relationship.
Every week's a learning week with you. Josh, it's always great to have you on. Thanks so much. And let's chat again next week.
Sounds great. Thank you.